I have a revelation concerning the Great White Throne. Yes, I do. Woohoo! I love it when this happens. I know what's going to be happening there. The Great White Throne, remember, is that judgment in between the thousand-year kingdom and the new heavens and the new earth. That's when the dead, the great and the small, rise. They've missed the thousand years. They've been asleep during that time, and they're going to wake up going, what happened? And they're going to say, when's the thousand years start? And somebody's going to say, it's over, and they're not going to be able to believe it. Now, a lot of the folks, hi folks, this is Martin Zender. A lot of the folks, a lot of the people at the Great White Throne are going to be Christians because, well, they thought they believed the truth, but they were duped by the deception, by the imitation, by the falsehood. Now, I know this, okay? This is what I know. This is the revelation. I know what most of these people are going to be saying at the Great White Throne. I have a quote for you. This came to me today as I was driving home from the YMCA. Here's what they're going to say. As they stand up there after rising from the dead, realizing the thousand years has passed, they're going to say, perhaps we were a bit hasty. That's it. Well, you don't appreciate that. I'm going to say it again. Listen to this. They're going to say, perhaps we were a bit hasty. And God's going to say, yeah. You were a little bit hasty. You were too quick to accept the surface truth, A, because Proverbs 25:1 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, the honor of kings to search it out, unashamed workmen, that old thing. Look into what you really believe. You have a heart for the truth to want to dig. That old thing, yeah, that's going to be a rough thing at the Great White Throne. And second of all, a lot of these folks will have made hasty moral judgments of other people without investigations. Perhaps we were a bit hasty in our condemnation. Well, yeah, you condemned a lot of people who are bringing you the truth, and yes, perhaps you were a bit hasty. So this is a matter of taking time, and I think of Mary and Martha right away. Mary sitting at Jesus's feet, taking the time to learn. Martha, much too busy for that. Got to perfect the sandwiches, got to chop the onions. We got to make the best sandwich possible for Jesus. We got to make sure the house is all clean and the table is crumbed. I didn't think there was such a thing as crumbing a table. Somebody told me that one time. I was at a nice restaurant, happened to be at someone else's expense, and this person said, they're going to be crumbing the table. And I said, what? They're going to be bringing a crummer. What? They're going to be bringing this flat thing and they're going to clear the table of crumbs. I said, I'll believe it when I see it. And then here came the crummer. But anyway, that's what's going to happen at the Great White Throne. So don't be hasty. Investigate. Unashamed workmen correctly cutting the word of truth. Now, I told you I was going to finish up this I cycle. I hope to finish it today. Actually, no, I got my own article to talk about tomorrow if I get through what I have to get through today, which is we've gone through the I cycle in Clyde Pilkington's amazing newsletter, volume 16, issue 389, The Bible Student's Notebook. Clyde's been doing this for 16 years. That's pretty impressive. We start with I in our life. Everything's about us. You know, people asked me, Martin, what was that noise you were doing that on Friday? We didn't understand that. Well, it was supposed to be a baby sucking at his mother's breast. You know, I talked about how everything is about you when you're a baby. And some people grow into adulthood and they haven't got over that. I guess I didn't do the breast noise right. It's more like, I don't know, or is it? It's been a long time since I've seen any of this action. I mean, with my babies, you know, when my babies were little, that's what I meant. It is, seriously. Let's see. So that's the I, and then people progress into I and God. This is the phase where God is your co-pilot. This is the phase where you read guideposts to find out how God can help you with your life. You take him out of a box when you need him. And then you visit him once a week, like your 175-year-old grandmother at the nursing home. Then we got to the God and I phase. This is progress. This is where you say to God, you know, God, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to put you in the pilot seat. You're no longer my co-pilot. I'm just going to sit over here. I'm going to give you authority to run my life. That kind of thing. And God goes, You just made my day. Thank you. I've been waiting for you to make this epic decision, as if God doesn't run your life anyway. It's really sophisticated religion. In the I and God stage, he's our advisor. We keep him on hand, bring him out of the box when we need him. In the God and I stage, we're his advisor. We tell him what we think needs to be done. We're actually a backseat driver, only in the front seat. We're in the co-pilot seat, but by golly, we've nobly allowed him to fly our airplane. Isn't that nice of us? The philosophy here with God and I is God can't work in your life unless you let him. You know, this idea that God's waiting for you. God's waiting for you. You picture him in his rocking chair just tapping his finger on the, you know, table wondering when you're going to get wise. It's like God's waiting you to ask him to the prom. And you finally ask him to the prom and he blushes and he's very honored to go with you. Now, this progresses into the God stage. This is a great stage. This is where I think most of us are. I'm going to push us past here today. That's my goal, to push you past the God stage. There are some I know that I'm talking to, who I'm talking to right now, who aren't at this God stage yet. But here's what happens at the God stage. We've gone, we've gone from I and God to God and I, and now God. This is the unique stage where we start to truly recognize the sovereignty of God, because I don't think the sovereignty of God is recognized in the God and I stage. No, I don't think so. We're still looking at free will here in the God and I stage. Still free will. Now free will, people realize that free will can't be true if God is worthy of his name. And they are so right. So now we get to the God stage. The God stage, we start to look at verses we've never seen before in the Bible. Somebody points a verse out to us and we go, where has that verse been? Well, it's been there for 2,000 years. Well, I've never seen it. Well, you weren't slow enough. You weren't careful enough. Back to my great white throne revelation. Perhaps we were a little hasty. So what we're seeing here are scriptures that begin to draw us, capture our attention, possibly and probably because someone else is pointing them out to us. Verses like, all is of God, 1 Corinthians 11:12. All is of God. Again, that's repeated in case we didn't get it in 1 Corinthians 11:12. This time it's in 2 Corinthians 5:18. How about this one? Romans 11:36. Out of him and through him and for him is all. Romans 11:36. And one of my favorite verses, Ephesians 1:11, speaking of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. This is when we bow down and recognize that he has been in control of our life the whole time. It was just our little mini baby comprehension that we gave our life to him one day. In fact, he was always in charge of our life. It's great to have that acquiescence. It's great to be nudged to notice that, but it's been true all along. As David said, he knew me in my mother's womb. He knit me there. He knew me. He was well acquainted with me. And I've thought of this often with Saul, the Apostle Paul. God was in charge of every single event in his life leading up to the epic event when he was blinded on the road to Damascus. Now, we could say that too, of everything that's happened to us. Looking back, you realize that it was all God. The whole time he had us in the palm of his hand because he is the sovereign deity. But this is the bad thing that happens when we get to this great phase of recognizing God as the sovereign of the universe and the sovereign of our lives, who has always been sovereign of our lives. We become fatalists. This is where the fatalists are. This is where I accuse some people of hanging their hammock at the consummation. In other words, God's going to be all in all, and yet at this stage, many people begin to recognize that fact, that God is the savior of all humanity, and that he will become all in all. And you see that he's got the end as secure as the beginning. In fact, he dictated the end from the beginning, Isaiah 46:10. So you just figure he's got everything in control. Since God's doing everything, why should I do anything? This is the fatalism I'm talking about. Since God already knows what's going to happen, why should I pray? And this is a big concern with a lot of you. Since God is going to save everyone, why preach? Since God makes everybody do what they do, why does he still judge people? Why does he judge people for being hard who he makes hard? This is the whole argument of Romans chapter 9. And the revelation of coming back full circle to the I, and I'm just not going to get to it on this show, it doesn't look like. The whole revelation of coming back to I, very, very few people, even among those of us who recognize the sovereignty of God and recognize that He's the Savior of all humanity, we, a lot of us, have not come to this place. But I'm going to give you that nudge. I'm going to push you to the next level where you're going to have free reign with the great pronoun I. Because in this God phase, as wonderful as it is, there is an almost pathological avoidance of the word I. You develop a false humility, I'm not giving anybody the benefit of the doubt here. If it's not a false humility, then what it is it's a pseudo-reverence. It's a pseudo, I am avoiding myself completely. I'm going to get out of the way. And what that is telling people, really, what that's telling me is that you are convinced that something you can do can screw up God's plan. So you're going to step aside, step in the shadows, because I can ruin what's going on with Christ. So this very borderline area here between God and God and I, there's still a lot of leftover God and I in here. As if you, Almighty you, could derail God's train. And there's a lot of self-perception problems here. There's a lot of people worrying about what other people are going to think of them. And this falls into the false humility category. I just can't talk about myself. In fact, I had one guy write me one time. He made a comment on one of my newsletters. He counted the times I used the pronoun I. Well, what I'm going to do for you tomorrow is I'm going to count for you the number of times the Apostle Paul uses the word I. You are going to be shocked. And you're also going to be liberated that you're going to have a new freedom concerning yourself when you get out of this fatalistic, it's all of God mode and be delivered from that into this joy again of being able to talk about yourself, being able to throw yourself into things. This was my great revelation back in 1993 when I started my newsletter, The Idle Babbler Illustrated. I said to myself, oh my goodness, what if I could throw myself into this newsletter? I had read these other crazy newsletters where the writer referred to himself in the third person. The writer of this article believes that. What are you, the writer of this article? Well, you can't say I. And some people are so humble that they only will put their initials at the end of an article as if it's a sin to mention their names. Like, I'm Paul. I'm Martin Zender. I'm sorry. That's who I am. I am Martin Zender bringing you this truth. Paul did this all the time. I, Paul, the Apostle Paul. He signed his letters Paul. He didn't sign them with a P. He signed them Paul. It's hard to say because you're not going to understand this until you come to the new creation and the new humanity. He was proud of his name. See, I can say that in the new humanity. We can say pride. We can say honor to whom honor is due. Recognition to whom recognition is due. Paul came to this point, and I'm telling you, this is a great spiritual maturity, and it's a great freedom. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the new I. We're going to give you the ultimate example of the Apostle Paul. And then apparently, I thought it was going to be Tuesday. No, I did say Tuesday, but apparently it's Wednesday where I'm going to read my great article from my blog, which I put forward to elucidate and to help you. I am what I am by the grace of God. Obviously, that should go without being said, but we do need to remind ourselves of that occasionally. And don't think I'm going to stop doing that.